Some of you might have heard me last time I was here. I gave my testimony from drug dealer to cop to preacher. And it was a crazy ride. I still think about it and it blows me away. And it's just an honor to be here. My pastor went to Bible school here, was trained up under Pastor Bob, and he's such a powerful man of God. So I look at Pastor Bob as my spiritual grandfather. So when I get to come to Texas, I get to come see Grandpa. And he's a powerful man of God, him and his wife, and the leaders here. I honor all of the leaders of this church. You're just wonderful. I thank you. God bless you. And I want to dedicate tonight's service to my big brother. If you heard my testimony from drug dealer cop the preacher, when me and my brother was infatuated with Christ, but we were still getting high, he taught me how to tithe on my drug dealing. you're laughing, but God had to catch me stoned to get in my wallet. What's he got to do to get in yours? But he's had mine ever since. But I got a text last night, my brother passed away. But I was getting ready to go preach this morning, and the Spirit of the Lord said, call your mama and tell him he's with me. So praise God. Let's give God praise that the devil didn't get my brother. So, but my brother had a couple of problems. I just praise God because the Lord said, you know, I died to get men in. I don't do nothing to keep them out, son. But my brother had a problem with unforgiveness. He got mad at the family and he stayed away from us. We didn't even know he was sick. We didn't know he was even in a coma. And my older sister saw a thing on Facebook on his daughters that said, well, my dad will probably not make it past the day. And my sister called and said, what are you talking about? She said, well, he told us that we weren't allowed to tell you. She was able to get my 86-year-old mother up there probably 40 minutes before he passed away. And so I know that's hard for a parent to have to bury their children and stuff, but... So I just recently preached The Power of Forgiveness in the Bible school. What an honor it was to be there. But I also published a book, Repetition's the Mother of All Learning. So, and honor my brother, because I don't want you to ever have aught against someone and keep away from your mother or your sister or your mother, anyone. This book cost me a 40-day fast. I did 40 days no food and water only, seeking God, taking dominion back from what the devil stole from each of us in our life. And so I want to talk to you tonight, and the book's out there, the CDs are out there, and I believe they'll really bless you. But I want to talk to you tonight on the message called The Gospel of Forgiveness. And no matter who you are, it amazes me. I'll watch people walk past the book table and say, I don't have a problem with forgiveness or unforgiveness. But what you need to understand that is God has called each and every one of you to network with heaven and to become a distributor of the power of forgiveness. When you become born again, it's only because you were forgiven. Faith moves God, you want to write this down, but forgiveness releases His power. Faith moves God, but forgiveness releases His power. And when He began to teach this to me, He said, what happened the day that I gave you forgiveness, Brian? I said, my sins were separated from me as far as east is from west. I was translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's Son. Everything of past is dead and gone and passed away. All my curses were broken. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And all of a sudden I realized supernatural things happen when forgiveness is given. I remember when King David had just recently done something messed up. Seemed like he must have been related to me. It seems like I do that all the time. And he'd received some forgiveness from the Lord. And he said, my cup runneth over. So I have an understanding that when God forgives you, He gives you more forgiveness than you need for yourself. And it's because He wants you to use it for others. A very powerful man that's going on to be with the Lord once said, Oral Roberts, he said, to have unforgiveness is like you drinking poison but expecting the other person to die. You must remember, a lot of you will keep unforgiveness because you think you're getting vengeance, but the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And there's not a one of you, if you're human in this room today, I want you to know that you cannot escape it, and I'll give you scripture to prove to you that you can't stop offenses from coming. It amazes me. A person came to me, they saw me at a restaurant in my hometown, And they said, you know, you're a preacher. I said, yes, I am, and I'm proud of it. I'm a tongue talker. I'm a devil caster outer, and I pray for the sick, and I'm not ashamed of it. I'm proud of it. And you know, people try to mock you, but you can't mock me. You can threaten me with death, but it doesn't scare me because you're actually threatening me with heaven. I'll never forget the day that I picked up the hitchhiker. He pulled a knife on me. He says, give me your money. I'm going to kill you. And I started laughing and accelerated. He said, why are you laughing at me? I said, because I'm not afraid of you. He said, I got a knife and I'm mean and I've been in prison and I'll kill you. And I said, that doesn't scare me. And I started laughing hysterically. And he said, why? He got mad. Why are you laughing at me? I said, because you're threatening me with heaven. I'm not afraid of heaven. My sins are forgiven. I'm born again. I said, but you, sir, are going to hell and I'm behind the steering wheel, so I'm in control and you're not. So by this time, I was about 80 miles an hour, and I said, pick which telephone pole or which tree you want, because I'm ready to go. I just paid my house payment. My wife has a large insurance policy, and she'll eventually get over me, but you're going to hell. He became nervous and started sweating profusely. Well, to make a long story short, the man handed me his knife. I took him to lunch and eventually led him to the Lord. Give God some praise, man. I actually took him to his mother who had been praying for him, and he walked in and told her, Mama, I'm born again. Isn't that awesome? And when I drove away, I thought, jeez, that was stupid. But sometimes the gift of faith will come on you, and some people might think it's the gift of stupidity. But a guy saw me in the restaurant. He said, you're one of them Christians. He said, I'll never go to church. I said, why won't you go to church? He said, because I was offended and hurt at church. I said, wait a minute, was there human beings there? He goes, well, of course there were human beings there. I said, what do you expect? It's amazing. My wife, let me share about my wife. She's not here, so I can talk about her. Well, she might be watching. I better be careful. She believes God lives at the beach. She does. So quite often, she likes to take the girls and the granddaughters. She says, go give me some money so I can go talk to God. So she goes to the beach to talk to God. But she has a revelation that the sun might offend her skin. So in preparation and to prevent the offense from coming, she'll go to the tanning bed and prepare her skin and also use sunblock on the younger granddaughters and stuff like this. But she doesn't let the possibility of offense, am I preaching yet? Doesn't let the possibility of offense stop her from going to the beach. Any of you deer hunters or fishermen and stuff, if you go out to the water's edge, the certain temperatures and stuff, the mosquitoes will tear you up. But you'll put on mosquito repellent, you'll dress appropriately because you want to go fishing. Well, I don't know, but I'm like David. I rejoice when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Whew. And I know when I go, people are going to be offended by me. And I'm such a strong personality that probably somebody's going to get offended at me tonight preaching. If you do, go to my book table, buy the book, The Power of Forgiveness, and you will have the power to forgive me. Even the Apostle Paul fought offense, and not even against people, but against men. If you have your Bibles, go to Acts chapter 24, verse 16. Acts chapter 24, verse 16. My book was at the publisher's. It was almost finished, and I was reading. I found this scripture. I got on the phone and said, stop the press. This has to have the scripture in it. Oh, my gosh. I don't ever remember. Have you read the Bible, you know, like a million times? You're like, who put this in there? When did they get there? And I read it and I said, here's Paul talking. Herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Now this is the Apostle Paul, who was very disciplined. He had to learn the first five books, the Pentateuch of the Bible, Moses' teaching. He had to learn that. He was very disciplined. He was trained by Gamaliel. He had all this theology. Probably if they would have had doctors in, they would have put a doctor in front of his name. He was so highly trained. He was disciplined. And you know, he came with papers from the high priest to persecute the church. He was an offense causer. Couldn't you say amen to that? Well, matter of fact, I forgot to tell you. Tonight I came with papers from the high priest, and I plan on making some devils homeless. Let me read the same scripture to you. Acts 24:16 in the Amplified version. The Amplified is for the hard of hearing.
Oh, did I say that?
Therefore, I always exercise and discipline myself, mortifying my body, deadening my carnal affections, bodily appetites, and worldly desires, endeavoring in all respects to have a clear, unshaken, blameless conscience, void of offense toward God and toward men. How could Paul actually get offended toward God? Well, see, Paul didn't preach like you and me. We want the key to the city. We want a parade. We want dinner after we preach. And we want a nice offering. Paul got stoned, beat with sticks, shipwrecked, bit by snakes. The man didn't get treated very good. He'd go into a city instead of a parade. They'd have a riot. They'd arrest him. They beat him. The man was truly disrespected. Can you say amen? So he could have and had to fight saying, God, I'm now working for you finally, but look how people are treating me. It amazes me how people panic when someone offends them. You know, if I answered my telephone at my home and there was a man from China on there and he cussed me out in Chinese, I'd be like, well, who is this idiot? And it wouldn't bother me at all. In order to offend me, the devil has to get someone close to me. It has to be somebody that I've let in close to me. Oh, who's it going to be? It's going to have to, oh, he has practiced with my wife. I'm telling you, my Lord. He's got it down to a science with her. And I'm sure he's used me towards her. And you know what? There's days he uses my kids. He uses my grandkids. There's days there's people in the church. I've told them, don't you do this. Don't do that. But I'm telling you, they do it anyway. And I just have to say, Lord, I make a conscious decision to forgive them. Because one of the chapters of my book is called Blinded by the Fight. We can get so focused, because there's a law called the law of focus. Whatever you focus on gets bigger. If you focus on your problems, they'll get bigger. If you focus on your God, oh, I'm about to preach. If you focus on your God, you'll begin to realize how big God really is. And when you focus on this stuff, you get blinded by the fight and you forget that the Bible tells you, you don't fight against principalities and powers and spirits of wickedness in heavenly high places. I mean, you do fight against them, not against flesh and blood. It's the devil becomes a puppet master and he uses humans as his puppet. And what God truly wants you to do is to be intelligent enough to see that he's using people. Now, you are just supposed to network with heaven, become a distributor of the power of forgiveness, and you begin to pray. See, you have the power to remit sins. You have the power, like I was praying for my brother when I heard he was in a coma. I said, Lord, if he's committed any sins that are not sins unto death, forgive him. I called my sister who was driving up her. I said, if you get there before he passes, anoint him with oil. She said, why? I said, because the Bible says if he's committed any sins, he'll be forgiven. I really believe the Bible. It's true. It's the word of God. The sons of men have power to forgive sins on earth. No, we can't get people born again. Only Jesus can do that. It's a gift from God. But you can begin to say, I remit them of their sins, Lord. I see them sins. Help them and intercede for them. Instead of saying, how dare you disrespect me? Don't you know who I am? Yeah, you was the heathen that was going to hell and God had mercy on you. Did I say that? The devil subtracts by division. Devil, you're not allowed in this house. Satan, your powers are broken. And in the name of Jesus, see, you know why November is such a thankful month? Because we're so glad we got out of witchy month in October. Oh, did I say that? Right now, in the name of Jesus, I break the power of every spell, incantation, or curse that was loosed against this church by witches, warlocks, and even if there's any in here, I forgive you and bless you in the name of Jesus. I release it and break its power in the name of Jesus, because in the name of Jesus, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. No weapon formed against this church shall prosper, or his church anywhere. In the name of Jesus, I release the power of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name, and it is not acceptable. I break its power in the name of Jesus. My name is Brian Adams, and I approve of this message. Woo! I was preaching in Arkansas, and I went to the pastor. Never met him before. We met at a Mexican restaurant. It was really good salsa, too, and we were sitting there. I said, you know, I've only talked to you on the phone, my friend. I said, but the Lord told me that you had severe witchcraft put on you in Africa and you became sick. He said, I've never told you that. They had to carry me on the plane 2 years ago. I said, the witchcraft on you is so strong that it summons witches in your community to attend your church. He said, man, my wife's been telling me that, and I've been telling her to shut up. I don't want to hear that stuff. I did 4 meetings. On the 3rd night of the meeting, the glory of God dropped so strong in the place. 3 women that didn't know each other came up to the pastor and said, I'm a witch and I've been on assignment here. I've been cursing you, your family, and the church. Will you forgive me? I want to accept Jesus. I've seen the power of God stronger than my power. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, the devil's not laying down. The devil don't care who wins the election. He knows his time is short and he's come down with great wrath. Don't you let him use you as a puppet. You belong and been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. You need the Holy Ghost inside you, worshiping the Lord, praising God, lifting up the hands of the pastors and the leaders of this church. We're not going to let the devil take us out in the name of Jesus Christ. I plead the blood over the house of God in Jesus' name. I don't know where that came from. Something I ate or what? Remember, whoa, I feel the Holy Ghost. The devil tried to tell me, you too upset, you too grieved because your brother died. I said, seek ye first the kingdom, devil. God done told me my brother's in heaven. I don't got time. I got to get somebody saved. I got to make some devils homeless. I've got to heal the sick. I've got to edify the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I must be about my Father's business. Woo! I'm going to tell you something. Forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't something that you do one time. It needs to become a lifetime function. A habit, if you will say. Multiple times in a day, week, month, and even, yes, your whole life. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Matthew chapter 18, verse 7. Matthew chapter 18, verse 7. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to the man by whom the offenses come. Now learn this right here. Those are, if you have the Bible with the words in red, those are words spoken by the Lord. And he says, let me tell you, listen to this closely. I'm going to give you the Bryan Adams translation. There's nothing you can do. I don't care if you're so spiritual, you glow at night when you turn the lights out. You can't stop offenses from coming. Jesus, the Lord and Savior, said they must come, but you can learn how to become like Teflon where they don't stick to you. One of the chapters in the book talk, it's called Forgiving from the Cross. Right while they were mocking him, beating him, while they were saying crucify him, while they had him nailed to the cross, he didn't wait till the next day or another day, but right while it's happened, you've got to say, I forgive them. But then if you're really spiritual, you'll go to the next level and say, not only do I forgive them, but Father, I ask you to, you become an intercessor. Because the Bible says, bless those that curse you and pray for those that despitefully use you. You know what? Do we really do that? If you'll bow your knee and pray for the person that's ripped you off, done you wrong, disrespected you, you have stepped into the level of a real intercessor. Because like my father told me this morning, he said, son, I died to get people into heaven. I'm not trying to make it hard and trying to kick them out. I was by your brother's side. And it didn't matter that he was in a coma. We were talking. My God. Oh, by the way, if I haven't told you today, you're awesome. You really, really are. Now, please, every one of you at one time has been used as a puppet, and the devil's been the puppet master. And you've said something, you've done something. Don't let your pride overpower you, not allow you to humble yourself and say, Father, forgive me. If you know you've sinned against somebody, just simply go and say, you know, I was having an idiot moment. I sinned against you. And against God. Please forgive me. I find it very easy because repetition makes perfection. I've gone and said that to my wife so many times, I've got it down to a science. Forgive me, honey. I've sinned against you. I was an idiot. She said, hallelujah. You have heard from the Lord. And I grin and say, blessed are the peacemakers. The minute people offend me, I've already made a decision before I went out that day. Not only do I put the armor of God on, but I make a conscious decision to forgive every person that's ever going to hurt me. I make a decision that the devil's not going to steal my friendship from the leaders in my church, from the people in my congregation, or even my fellow brothers and sisters of this church. If I do something to offend you, come to me, confront me. I'll cough, I'll look the other way, I'll probably think about denying it, but I'll eventually repent. Because why? You're awesome. And I need you. And you need me. The Bible says that when each person supplies their part, then the church grows. And if you're not supplying your part, or if you're mad and offended and not doing your part, then you're guilty of the sin of hindering church growth. My brother was guilty of the sin of hindering church growth because he was mad at God, he was mad at me, he was mad at everybody. And he wouldn't call us, wouldn't take our calls, and he shut down all fellowship of our family. That was selfish. It almost offended me. But God said, go read your book. He said, you're older than this, Brian. You're more mature than this. He said, you've got too much to do for my kingdom. There's hundreds of thousands of souls, millions of souls attached to your call. You don't have time to pout and to play games. He said, you'll be with your brother for all eternity. Now get back to the kingdom business. Whew. That's why today I can preach. That's why today you see a smile on my face. Not that I'm cruel, not that I don't have emotions, but I'm so happy. You know why? Because I'm not going to hell. Learn that there's nothing you can do to stop offenses from coming, but you need to learn to protect yourself and others. And if you've been affected by unforgiveness or bitterness or hurt, you need to learn how to recover from it. And you need to learn how to prevent future harm. In your Bibles, if you will please go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. I want you to know, I'm going to give you a little nugget here. The Father God never made a covenant with angels, and he never made a covenant with the devil. He only made a covenant with man. And because he has a covenant with man, when you're born again, the Holy Spirit will give you revelation. So you're actually smarter than the devil. I just thought I'd throw that in there. Because the devil doesn't get revelation. So don't be so quick to tell everybody what you know. But the devil does know principles of the Bible. He knows the laws of the universe. He knows the law of gravity. That's why he tried to tell Jesus, go ahead and jump. See, the devil's busy about getting the children of God to try to do son tricks. He said, if you're a son, do a trick. Jump through a hoop. Devil, I don't do tricks for you. It's like Jesus said, you're looking for a sign, but I'm not giving you a sign. People want people to do tricks. Show me repentance, and I'll show you the power of God. Godly sorrow brings repentance. When repentance comes, forgiveness is released. And when forgiveness is released, the power of God shows up. Just the other night, oh, by the way, give my good friends, the pastors from Romans 8 Church, give them a big God bless, if you will. They were hosting me the past couple of days. They've treated me so good. We had a lady come in their church. She was bent over. She had bone disease, muscle disease, arthritis, pains, chronic for 5 years. Couldn't barely move on that. And when God touched her, she said, I forgive. I let the past go. The power of God hit her. She shoved the walker to the side and took off running. Oh, give God some praise in the house. There were eyes that couldn't see that ended up seeing. One beautiful elderly lady came up with hearing aids. She said, I said, how bad are you? She said, about 60%. And she took them out, and I put my fingers in. I said, you deaf spirits, come out. After she forgave now, I put my fingers out. She's like, oh, my gosh, you got a big mouth. I said, yes, I do. That was proof she could hear me. Here come her husband. He was just a little old guy. He was, I think, older than her. And he sat down in a chair. I said, what do you want? He said, I'm her husband. She got her ears healed. He had hearing aids too. He said, I don't want to be unequally yoked. He took out his hearing aids. He was probably even worse than her, wasn't he? Maybe 80 or 90%. Stuck my fingers in there. I pulled him out. His eyes, he looked like a calf looking at a Newgate. Or a deer in the headlights. He could not imagine. Because see, God is a now God, a now miracle God. Faith is now, miracles are now. I don't need my money in the sweet by and by. I don't need my healing in the sweet by and by. I need my stuff now. How about you? Is there any need your stuff now, believers, in this house? Whew. I don't want to sing them songs in the sweet by and by. I hear people give testimonies. I just can't wait to get to the sweet by and by. Well, come up here. I'll pray you die right now. You're lying. You know you don't want to go. You get a cold, you run to the doctor. I don't want to go either because I don't. I'm in faith on the other side. But right now, I got some souls to win. But my time on this earth, I can't allow anybody to shut me down and to sin against my God. And he says, Brian, you've got to love people. And the fruit of love is forgiveness. Now, you may not be able to have a relationship with people that's beat you, raped you, or done something. And when you choose to forgive them to be like God and step to that supernatural realm, you're not saying what they did was okay. What you're saying is I'm at a higher level. I'm supernatural. It's the beginning of your breakthrough and your healing. There was a lady in my church. She tithed. She fasted. She never missed church. She did every principle in the Bible. And probably did it better than anybody. I think she had a little competition thing on her. She was going to outdo everybody. But she couldn't stay married, couldn't keep a job. Everything was a mess. Didn't seem like nothing worked for her. One day she's at the altar crying. She got up. She came into my office. She said, Pastor, why? Why won't nothing work for me? And well, I have a doctorate, so I thought I could say something theological. But I thought, I don't know if it would be God or not. So I looked at her and said, well, no, I'll pray. 2 weeks later, I was preparing a sermon on a Thursday night, finishing it, for to preach at my church. And the Lord spoke to me and says, I'll tell you what her problem is. She doesn't love herself. And I said, why is that, Lord? He said, my first commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, and all thy soul. And the second is equal to that, is to love your neighbor as yourself. I've met people, I don't want them loving me like they love themselves. It would be abuse. Have you ever met someone like that? And I said, could you explain me a little bit more? He said, son, without love, faith is fuelless. Because faith worketh by love. So it's like having a beautiful vehicle, but you got no gas. So when your faith has no fuel, your words fall to the ground. Need doesn't move God. Faith does. But forgiveness releases his power. She had to forgive herself. I'll never forget the boy. He had the metal braces like this. He was dragging his legs. He couldn't even pick him up. He would pull himself. He was 16 years old, and he'd drag himself up. And I can't even remember if it was polio, MS, or what it was, but it just had constricted. He came up, and I said, what's the matter? He said, I hate my parents. I hate God. I said, why, son, why? He said, look at me. I didn't choose to be like this. Why did God permit this? Why did my parents do this to me? I said, stop it. I preach from a two-point theological point. If you have your pens, are you ready? I'm going to give you point number one. One, God good. Two, devil bad. I said, the Bible says in John 10:10, the thief comes but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. We're not going to allow him in the house of God to kill relationships. We're not going to allow him to steal relationships. We must be wise to his devices. I make a conscious decision to get along with everybody. I make a conscious decision to love. I make a conscious decision to be teachable and to be lovable. I make a conscious decision to forgive. Oh, man, when I'm releasing the power of forgiveness, it feels like a Clark Kent curl comes down and a cape kind of flies. I'm like, ooh, I'm flying now. I'm serious. You can feel the tangible presence of God. The healing in our ministry went from 32% to, this is no exaggeration, to over 80%. Get on my website. Go to testimonies. It clicks down, drop on video, and look, watch the people talk about blind eyes. Watch the people talk about wheelchairs. Watch the people talk about that. When I got that boy to forgive, he fell down under the power. I left him lay there, prayed for a bunch more people, went back. I said, get him up. He got up, and he started walking without his sticks. His back went straight. He just took off, man. Come on, somebody praise God. Because he forgave because he was wrongfully judging God and his parents. They didn't get together and say, let's have a child, and let's make sure he's handicapped. Come on. A lot of times people have messed you over and hurt you, and they didn't even mean it. They were blinded by the fight. They were nothing but a puppet, and the devil was a puppet master. I'm not going to let the devil make me mad at my family. I'm taking my family back. Somebody say, I'm taking my family back. I'm taking my church family back. You're not going to get between me and my pastor. Man, a while back, the devil tried to get me mad at Pastor David Chisholm, and it was even come to me like a dream. I jumped up. I screamed at the top of my lungs about giving my wife a heart attack. She said, what's the matter? I said, go back to sleep. I'm fighting the devil. He wants to mess with my relationship with my pastor. Because you know what? My destiny lies in his mouth. And if I close my ears, I won't be able to hear. The Bible says his sheep hear his voice, and the devil wants you to shut down your hearing to the shepherd. We're learning his wiles. We got to, I took you to that scripture, but we never went there, didn't we? I apologize. Ecclesiastes. I repent. Forgive me. Oh, I just felt the power. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So the devil knows the policies of the universe and how the laws of the universe work. So he says, I'm going to get three things and make them a cord. And he takes, you might want to write this down, anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness. And he wraps them together. And they become a cord that's not easily broken. And then they supernaturally, by the demonic powers of Satan, become a spiritual cancer that begins to eat at the love that's supposed to be shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. No love, no fuel. No love, no obedience to the Father. They will know we are Christians by our bumper stickers. Wait a minute, that's not what it is it? No, I know what it is. They'll know we're Christians by our Christian t-shirts. No? Oh, I know. They will know we are Christians by our love. Human love that you can manufacture has conditions. You do me right, I'll do you right. Supernatural love of God has the power to love unlovable people, to forgive unforgivable people. And once it's released, friendships are restored. I was praying just recently in my church. I said, Lord, everybody that I've offended with my personality or stuff I've done wrong, if you just bring them back to me, I'll humble myself, and I'll say, please forgive me. Man, he must have took me serious. Every restaurant I went to, they'd show up. I'd go into a bathroom at a gas station. There'd be two of them in there. I'm like, Lord, I'm running. Be careful what you pray. Because God really wants you right with him. Because the devil's not only a liar, but he's a legalist. And in the court of heaven, he's the accuser of the brethren, and he's trying to find some reason to hold charges against you to keep you from receiving your blessings. You're fasting, you're praying, saying, Lord, what am I doing wrong? I can't get the breakthroughs. In the heavenlies, the demonic forces are holding your angels back, your blessings back, because Satan's standing there saying, they have unforgiveness. They're liars. They're thieves. They don't tithe. He's bringing the accusations because he knows the principles and the laws of the universe. He says, I'd rather have obedience. Rebellion is likened unto witchcraft. There's practicing witches in the house. you know that witchcraft really can fly? It really can. Rebellion is like an end of witchcraft. Some witchcraft got on one of my grandsons one day. When I took the paddle to him, he flew. It flew right off of him. He said, I repent. Papa. When I came down for swing number two, he immediately broke into tongues. Shokana ba papa. And I looked at him, I said, son, that's not acceptable. In the house, in the church, we love one another. We respect one another. Because once you've been purchased by the blood, you don't have a bill of rights. Too many of you are Americans before you're Christians. Too many of you are Democrats before you're Christians or Republicans before you're Christians. You must seek the kingdom first. You must love one another. Unforgiveness is so terrible. Bitterness is, said, don't let no bitterness be found in you springing up, defiling many. The devil knows exactly how. I was driving through the parking lot when I first got in town. There's nobody here. I couldn't sleep, so I came and just drove around the parking lot. I was praying. The Lord said, son, when you go there, break the power of words. Break the power of the spells and the incantation and the curses. Because, you know, when I got my real estate license, it said the three best things are location, location, location. Well, location, location, location also gets you seen, seen, seen. You're doing wonderful things in the kingdom, sir. The devil doesn't like it. And he has sent, and people have spoken, and things have done. But guess what? We, the people, break the power of the words and the spells and the incantations in the name of Jesus, and we will walk in love. We will walk in forgiveness. Because why? Because there'll never be a church with the power of the first century church without forgiveness. Because when you're forgiven, you're transformed from darkness to light. You become a new creature. I'm 27 years drug and alcohol free, but I'm not a recovering anything. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Jesus isn't trying to transform me. He is transforming me. He didn't do a weak job. There is no greater job. A young man made the mistake in front of me the other day and said, let me tell you what's wrong with the church. I said, it's people saying what's wrong with the church. My Jesus died for this church. He birthed the church from the blood and the water out of his side. The church is awesome. It's one of his greatest creations on the planet. It redeemed mankind. I'm thankful that I'm not going to hell, man. I'm so excited. I got a 17-hour drive when I head back to Ohio. I'm praying for messed up, drug addicted. I don't care if they're witches, warlocks. I want some crazy hitchhikers. Oh, Lord Jesus, give me sinners. I want them full of bitterness. And I'll say, you got a long ride. Read my book, Why We Drive. Learn to forgive. It brings freedom. I could have been mad at my brother, but I said, I'm not going to be mad at my brother. Because I choose to love him. Yes, I would have liked to have seen him for years. Yes, I would have liked to have known what was going on. But it doesn't matter. David, when they told him that the child was dead, he didn't stay fasting and crying. But he got up and washed his hands, said, let's get back to business. It's time for the church to get back to business. This is a no-pout zone. This is a no-unforgiveness zone. This is not a suggestion of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a commandment. If you don't forgive, you cannot be forgiven. If you don't forgive, you cannot be healed. When I pray and lead someone to the Lord Jesus Christ, I refuse to pray the sinner's prayer with them until I say, make this prayer, I forgive everyone. I'm seeing greater things. You know, when someone's really freshly been hurt, when they're in a trauma state, it's hard for them to forgive, so don't push it. Because the following of trauma is grace. And be sensitive. When you feel the grace, then you get them to repent. Because it takes the grace of God to supernaturally forgive. How do you know if you've truly forgiven? When you see them and you don't still feel like you want revenge. Pastor Brian, I forgive them. Then why do you keep driving around their neighborhood thinking about cutting their tires? Why are you still in calling people gossiping and talking about the leaders? Why are you still? That's not forgiveness. Let me tell you what true love is. My pastor's awesome. He's the covering that God gave me. Pastor Bob is my spiritual grandfather. The faith that comes from him to go to my pastor comes to me. I can do all things because there's people like you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Give him a big God bless. He may not have raised me up personally, but he raised my pastor up. Now my pastor's raising me up, so I claim spiritual DNA. When the Lord eventually takes this wonderful man home, I will be in heaven at the spiritual will saying, I'm here for my stuff. Who are you, grandson? I want the faith, I want the power, I want the knowledge, I want the wisdom. Because I know that I don't got it. I need this generation. Younger people, you need our generation. We need one another. Oh, for the power. I'm telling you, every one of you, I'm not just saying this to sell a book, but you need this message. If you don't like reading, you like listening, you can get it on CD. I'm telling you, you need to stop the wiles of the devil making you a puppet. It takes faith fueled by love, supernatural love, to really forgive and stay in the power of forgiveness. Natural love that you and I can create has boundaries and conditions. But God's love is supernatural. You have to allow yourself to yield to God's plan of success. Because there's a necessity that you have enemies before you can be promoted. Before any promotion, there will be somebody that hates you. You know what causes a lot of unforgiveness in the church today? I'm not even going to charge you for this one. It's when you don't know your identity. A slave begs, a servant asks, but a son expects. If you don't know who you are, if you don't know that you are called to be a son, to as many believe in his name have been given the power of the sons, you cannot be a son if you don't have a father. So if you're in this church, this is your spiritual father. And a son's going to tell his father, yes, father, whatever you tell me to do. But if you don't have an identity as a son first to the Heavenly Father, you're going to be a stepson. Now, I got stepkids. Here's what stepkids say. You ain't my daddy. Don't tell me what to do. Am I preaching yet? Rules and regulation without relationship will breed rebellion. If you don't get to know your leadership, if you don't love them and pray for them, one of the greatest ways to know your leadership is to intercede for them and lift up their hands. And you bond. I was off working, off preaching, off traveling the world when most of my grandkids was born. And I love them, they love me, but I was not there when they were little babies. But when my youngest, when it's 4 years old, when she was born, my daughter-in-law had a heart attack in my bathroom. It was a small one, but they still kept her in the hospital. It was a brand new baby. She couldn't keep it with her. So my wife took, and they pumped, you know, pumped breast milk, and we brought her to the house, and my wife said, we got to watch this little baby for 3 days. I said, give her to me. I have veto power. I am Papaw. And I put that little baby on my belly. She first 3 days was learning the sound of Grandpa snoring, burping, singing, feeding her, rocking her. Now, if that 4-year-old would walk in there right now, you'll say, who's that? She'll go, the man. That's the man. We're bonded. Oh, gosh, I miss her. She called me up and said, are you coming home for Thanksgiving, Papa? I said, yeah, baby, I'm going to be there for Thanksgiving. The best of my ability. She said, well, remember, I loved you first. You You had not even physically met me, but I'd heard everything about you. I loved you first because I knew you would love me. You're stuck with me. When you get blinded by the fight, your identity gets hindered. And all of a sudden you think you're called somewhere else. All of a sudden you think you've got other things. When you're love, nobody's taking my baby. Nobody's taking my grandbaby. Nobody. Nobody's taking my wife. No one's taking my children. No one's taking my brothers and sisters. I haven't known everybody here, but there's certain people I'm starting to meet. When I see them, their eyes kind of go, whoop. They're like, I know you. I'm like, whoop. You know, people that, they're kind of like over the crowd, whoop, hey. Because we're family. I need you. I need Pastor Bob. Every time I come, this guy here and his brothers, they always corner me, mess with me, punch on me, hug on me. They treat me good. They treat me with respect. They're awesome. Mark always makes a point to see me. His wife always makes a point to say hello. There's so many of you that do that. And I thank you because you know why? You're part of me and I need you. Make a covenant with me tonight that if I offend you, you'll be mature enough to come to me and say, that hurt, man, please. Don't do that. I will repent. Make a covenant with the body of Christ and with your leaders that you don't let the devil get in there. God said, take this message, son. I'm going to make you a fire starter. When you leave, people will be fire keepers. Take the power of forgiveness and let the power of God drop, because we need the power of the first century church of miracles, signs, and wonders in order for the young generation to say, I want some of that. They don't want just songs. They just don't want some good message. They need the power. When I was a drug addict and puke was on me and acid and chemicals and heroin was on my body, some hymn wasn't going to do it. Somebody saying, please come to church, wasn't going to do it. I needed the power of God. And when I called on his name, he didn't show up powerless. Bam! Bam! You know what that means? Brian Adams Ministry. Bam! You know what, sir? He didn't send an angel to say, dude, you got puke on your shirt. Your hair's sticking up. Your deodorant gave off a week ago. You're nasty, dude. Your breath stinks. You're almost overdosing. Go clean. Go take a shower. Come back in and make an appointment with me. While I was yet still a sinner. Woo! Oh, can I give you the Brian Adams translation? While I was yet offending him. While I was causing unforgiveness, he died for me. Can I die for you while you offend me? Can I humble myself and say, there's a reason you're trying to hurt me? It's because hurt people hurt people. Molested people molest people. Abused people abuse people. Let me put it to street terms. Yo, boy, you disrespect me. I disrespect you. That's what it's about. Because see, when you say don't disrespect me, that's just another way of saying don't offend me. You disrespect me, so I have unforgiveness toward you. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. An outer court Christian will see faults with everybody. They'll see black, they'll see white, they'll see yellow, they'll see Hispanic. An inner court Christian has submitted himself enough to be able to work in the house of God and everything else. And, well, I can accept this, I can accept that. But a holy of holy believer sees no color, race, creed, financial status. They only see souls. And when I'm in the spirit, your soul can't offend me. I'll be like, nice try. That was pretty good. I've never seen that one. That was good. Let me write that down. That was really good. I'm going to put that in my next book.
I'm still married because of the power of forgiveness. My wife has the power. I made her read the book for 3 months in a row. She has the power to forgive me. Repetition. I'm very irritating when I'm not in the spirit. Why some of you laughed? You may not have even known that the angelic activity that was in this room with their swords drawn. And when I prayed and I commanded the power of words and the witchcraft to go, the power was driven out of here in the name of Jesus. The host of heaven is standing around, just like when Elijah had his servant's eyes open. There are chariots, Pastor, all around her. I'm not one to see, but I can feel them. I have a knowing that the angelic host of here, and he says, this is, excuse my grammar. I got bad grammar, but I got good grace. This is be, gonna be, will be a revival center. This is a revival center. Come on, don't patty cake. Come on. I need some help. I need some help. This is the revival center. You can have no revival anywhere unless you have the power to forgive. How many people are excited that you're not going to hell? First John chapter 4, verse 20. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. I'll give you two more scriptures and I'll stop for a while. Good preachers want to show you how many closes they got. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother, that also includes sister, his brother or sister also. Write this scripture down. I'm not going to go there right now. I'm just going to talk it to you. Matthew chapter 18, verse 23 through 35. It's the whole basis of the Power of Forgiveness book and the message. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 through 35, it talks about a Lord said, I'm going to take account of people that owe me. He found a man that owed him 10,000 talents. He called him in and he said, hey, I'm collecting. He says, I don't have it. Now, here's what he said. You, your wife, and your children will be sold and put into prison. So for those of you who say, it doesn't matter what I do, my sin doesn't affect anybody else. It doesn't say that the wife and the children borrowed the money. So your sin does affect your family and come into your household. And so as they found the scripture, and that scripture it tells us, it says, he brought him in. He said, please forgive me. Give me time and I will pay you back. Otherwise, he was saying, let me refinance. The Lord was moved with such compassion. He said, tell you what, you don't have to do that. I'm just going to wipe your slate clean. You now no longer forgive me. This is a prophetic picture of the Lord bringing salvation to your heart and wiping away your sins separated from you as far as east is from west. He leaves, he's feeling good. I'm debt-free, man, got debt canceled. How many people would love to have debt cancellation? Amen. So look at you. Look at that look on your face. You're like, whoo. Well, if you got saved, you did get debt cancellation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And as you got that debt cancellation, he goes walking out. He found somebody that only owed him 1,000. He grabbed him, said, by the throat, and said, give me, pay me that which thou owest. And he says, I don't have it. Give me a chance. Just give me a chance, and I'll pay you back. Wait a minute. I heard that somewhere before, didn't I? Isn't that exactly what he said? But he would not, and he threw him into prison till he could pay the debt. Well, the debt is unforgiveness. You can't pay the debt. Only the blood of Christ from Calvary can pay the debt. Only what Christ did can forgive it. So what did it say? He said, you will be turned over to the tormentors until your debt's paid. Then Jesus in red letters says this, and such will my Father do unto you until you pay your debt. You can't pay your debt. So I want to let you know today that one of the laws of the universe is if you refuse to forgive, the legal laws of the universe says tormenting spirits can be upon you. So I started investigating what torment, the Bible says, fear hath torment. And I started experimenting with people with phobias, anxieties, and fears. How long have you had that? Oh, 5 years. I had it 5 years. Well, okay, what happened? Anything major? Well, that's when I got divorced and I really got hurt and mad. Let's forgive him. I already did. Well, you did make from your lips, but did you really do it from your heart?
Because that passage says, until you forgive him from your heart. I'll pray with them because God's given me a special grace to pray with people to forgive. And when they forgive, they begin to cry. And all of a sudden, I'll say, leave them anxiety. Leave them fear, whatever it is. Fibromyalgia, arthritis, bursitis, all these different things would just instantly leave. Why? Because their legal ground was gone. No matter how powerful you are, if the devil has legal ground, he laughs at you. He knows the laws of the universe. But when you obey the word of the Lord, and that's to forgive, the devil's legal ground is gone. And you, ladies and gentlemen, can become free. I have literally walked 20 years without missing a day's work. I got a revelation when God started putting me in the ministry and healing that there was a place called Divine Health. I have saved so much money. I'm not disrespecting anybody that fights because everybody has their battles. But I have saved so much money by not going to doctors and prescriptions and everything else. My wife goes, gets her hair done, her fingernails done, and goes shopping. She loves my revelation. She said, you keep believing, brother, while I go to the store. She does. My wife brags on it. Man, he just saves me so much money. But what I'm trying to do is, you cannot expect a harvest if you don't plant seed. So I constantly put the seed of the Word of God on healing, because for my ministry, you not only have to feed your spirit, you have to feed your gift. You need to find out what you're... If you're a teacher, man, you'll sit down with Andrew Walmick. You'll sit down with Perry Stone. You'll be like, blah, 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 blah. I'm a preacher. Perry Stone starts, I'm like, stop. I can't take no more. I don't even understand what you said. He gets into Greek and all this stuff, and my head goes crazy. But you get me, shamba, ha, preacher. I'm like, woo, yeah, preach it. Because that's my gift. You got to feed your gift and find out what your gift is. Because without a vision, people perish. If you're a pastor, if you don't have a picture of what a real pastor is, if you want to see, I'm pastor, I look at him to get a picture. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is how I'm supposed to do it. So I get a vision. When I want to see miracles, signs, and wonders, I put on the DVDs of A.A. Allen. I'm like, ooh, that's how you do it. And I get a picture. I get a vision. Without a vision, my gift perishes. Without a vision of pastoring, I look at him and Pastor Dave, and I get a picture. That's how I'm supposed to do it. Do you see what I'm saying? But with unforgiveness in your heart, your eyes are blinded, you can't get a vision or a picture, and all you're doing is trying to defend yourself. Hurt people hurt people. And it becomes a plague in the church. Become a network with heaven. Become a distributor of the power of forgiveness and set up inoculation and vaccine stations wherever you live. That when people that are torn with bitterness, unforgiveness, and anger, you find them, you can teach them about forgiveness, and you can vaccinate them with the love of God. Whew. My God. You need the book.
Thank you, Lord.
You need the CDs. We need to be, what is God's grace all about? Forgiving sinners. His children should be just like him. Did you get anything from the word tonight? Give the Lord some praise. I feel the Holy Ghost. Keep your attention on me, please. I like attention. I'm just being honest. Most preachers do. If you've been offended, if you've been hurt, and you've said it with your lips a million times, but it just doesn't seem like you get the breakthrough. When you see them, you're just like, and it keeps rising up. It's like there's an alien in there. You're like, I don't know if I'm still mad at them or is that indigestion? You know what I'm talking about. You'll go to the other side of Walmart. You that are sitting over there used to sit over here, but you don't know because you're mad. They took your parking place. They put their Bible in your seat. They did your job when it was supposed to be yours. I don't care what it is. It could have been an employee. It could have been a mom. Could have been a stepdad. Could have been someone mom called uncle. And they molested you. No matter how bad it is, you say, I want to be free, man. I want to have the love of God work for me. Because see, nobody's exempt from this. Oh, brother, that was good timing. I didn't see him go up. Whoa, what's that? My ears have been opened to heaven. Did you see the look on my face? I was like... Take it up a little bit, brother. You're doing good. Why am I so happy? He or she who has been forgiven much, loves much. There's years I wasn't a good husband, I wasn't a good father, but they've forgiven me. There was years I sinned against my pastor and my parents, but they've all forgiven me. There was so many times, even as a believer and a preacher, I've grieved the Holy Ghost. And when I laid in my bed last night, he came and he held me. He says, I know you're going to miss your brother, but you're forgiven and you have power. Use it to set my people free. Come if you want to be free tonight. Come, don't wait. Don't worry about who's next to you, who's around you. Because tonight when the forgiveness comes, the power of God's going to set you free. If you're a leader, you need to be up here because I'm going to lose the power to help you, to anoint, to set people free. I'm going to break the witchcraft that's been put off you by the witches that have come in this community and put stuff against you. You got pains, you got hurts. Don't try to be spiritual tonight. Be honest. God's going to forgive you. God's going to bless you. If you're sitting here and as these people are coming up, if you've never had a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's the greatest miracle, far greater than anything. It's greater than raising the dead. It's greater than blind eyes or wheelchairs. Being born again. You must be born again. Keep coming. You know that you're there. You know you're hurting. In your mind, you might even want to lie to yourself. No, I've dealt with that. No, it's still there. You feel it right now because the anointing, the angels are poking it, stirring it up. God loves you. He's not mad at you. You are wonderful. Let me slide through here. I enjoyed lunch the other day. It was a really good day. Thus says the Holy Ghost. I feel an atmosphere changing here. Did you? Just close your eyes. And to begin to deal with your stuff. Whether you were fondled as a child, whether you were beat or abused and whipped and done wrong, whether you were spoken against by words and told you're nothing, you're nobody, you'll never be nothing. Whether you were betrayed, whether you're lied to, whether you felt disrespected, say, pray this prayer, say, I make a conscious decision to forgive every person who's ever hurt me, who's ever done me wrong. I even forgive myself. I forgive all leaders. I forgive God. I let the past go. Now listen to this real quickly. Unforgiveness is rooted in yesterday, so it takes you out of faith because faith is now. It hinders you. The Bible says if you have aught against someone and you're bringing an offering, that shows you, stop, get it taken care of. It hinders your finances. And the book of Peter says that if there's aught between you and your wife, it'll hinder your prayers. If you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. Man, it'll mess your life up. But we try to justify I really have the right because, after all, look all that I've done for them. Look how I've laid my life down for them. That used to be me talking about my stepkids and my wife. Look what I've done with them. They just don't treat, they don't give me the respect that I deserve. And then between ranting and raving, the Lord said, who did you think he was? I said, okay, I repent. Hands up. I come with papers from the high priest. You're under arrest. You do not have the right to remain silent. You must forgive. And as I lay hands on you, the power of God's going to begin. Start right here. The power of God's going to begin. You could feel it, couldn't you? Power. Power of God. Loose him from all unforgiveness. I break the power of the assignment in the name of Jesus. You will be free. Touch her, bless her. In the name of Jesus. Touch my brother, Lord. Let him never be the same. Let it be free. Let it be broken. The chains are broken now. Break the chains that bind them in the power of God. Touch my brother now. Just receive. Don't transmit. Because here comes the power of God. I see like a motorcycle helmet on you, and you've put on a helmet of protection because you're afraid of being hurt. God's taken it off and said he just passed a law in the spirit. No helmets needed. Woo, you're cruising now. In Jesus' name. Fury, free him. Pow! In the name of Jesus. Touch my brother now. Touch the sister and set her free. I break the chains that bind you in Jesus' name. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Bless her, Lord. Let it go, sissy. Tormentors, leave her now. Let the past be gone. Break the power of every word. The power of words broken now. Tormentors, go. Power of God. Take the hurt. Take the hurt, Holy Ghost. Take the hurt. Take the hurt. Shall I let it go? Shall I forgive myself? There it is. Power of God. Loosen now. Set my brother free, Lord. Take the pain from his heart, from his memory. Loosen now in the name of Jesus. Set him free. Set him free. Holy Ghost, tormented spirits, leave now. Tormentors, leave now in the name of Jesus. You can't have her. Loose her now. Say, leave me. Say, leave me now. Power of God. Touch her now. Be free. Touch her now. Be free. Power of God. Set this young man free. Take the pain from him now, Lord. Take the pain from this wonderful woman. Loose her. I said, come out. In Jesus' name. Is there pain? You ready for it to go? Wave your hand. Say goodbye. You're out of here. Put your hand there. I'm going to touch your hand only, okay? On where the pain is. Here it comes. I'm going to touch your hand only with your permission. Shoo. Hasta la vista. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh. I thought you was already in line. In the name of Jesus. Power. Power of God. Touch him, Lord. Set him free. Let him be free always. Always in the name of Jesus. It's time for the bondage to stop. In Jesus' name. Power. Let my brother be free. I break the words over your life. I break him. You're going to be free now in the name of Jesus. Freedom, freedom, freedom. Take him down, brother. Don't hold him up. Power. In the name of Jesus. Whoa, you look familiar. Power. It's the power of God. Who do you feel that? Woo, give my brother some extra anointing. Fill him up in the name of Jesus. Power. In the name of Jesus.
Good to see you, man. Hallelujah. Every tormenting spirit, I bind you and break your power. Infirmity, arthritis, bursitis, you go in the name of Jesus. Warfare, ungodly words, I break your power. I smite you. Torment, it's in the signs of the devil. Loose these people. Let them go free now. You're trespassing. And I command you power. Woo! Power of God. Bam! Get him, Lord. Hallelujah. Mess up his hair, Lord. Mess him up real good. Woo! How you doing? Oh, there's some for you. Power! Oh. How you doing, man? You doing good? And God just wants me to tell you, he loves you. Power! The assignment's broken off of you now. You look for me. Oh. Oh, Lord, bless them. They're awesome. Bless this man of God. Pow! 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 In the name of Jesus Christ, I lose the power of the Spirit of God. Take all the pain, all the hurt, all the rejection in Jesus' name. Let the power of the Spirit of God flow now in the name of Jesus Christ. Power of God! Power of God! Power of God! Just keep your hands up and worship. Look at anointing. You feel it coming on you? Lord, I remit every sin, every hindrance in the name of Jesus. Let the anointing come. Let the muscles begin to strengthen in the body and the legs in the name of Jesus. Power! That's right. You got it. Bam! Oh, heal that heart in the name of Jesus. I know, man. The minute I stepped in, front of you, I felt the pain, brother. I want you to know that I love you. You're awesome. Receive my love. It's not mine, it's my Father's. So it's pure. There's no strings attached. Your pain's leaving now. 3, 2, 1. Put your hands up. Say, I'm a son. I am forgiven. Say, God, you're my daddy. I'm accepted. Give me a hug. Holy Ghost, heal the rejection and the hurt and the pain. Take my friend's pain now, I pray. You are so awesome, God, that you heal the heart. All the bitterness and hurt that's been there for years, the abandonment, I pull it out now in the name of Jesus. Whoa, you took some juice off me there, brother. You got free. You look familiar too. PK. What's your friend that you heard so many times? It's hard. But I got the power to give you. So I forgive all of them for the way they've treated my dad. My family. Pow! Can you feel the heavy weight of God in this place? The Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, that's right. Come here. I want to apologize to you. I've never pushed in to get to know you. That's not right. Because you need me. And I need you. Put your hands up. Power of God. The anointing set free. Every assignment in the Spirit to be broken in the heavens.
Well, that's a perfect music. Where? This lady. Yes, this lady. This lady. Only got the top layer. Can we get the rest of it? Can we get the rest of the pain? You know what? It hurts me so bad that we've learned as a church to put on a facade. We'll be crying on the way to church when we get there. We post my head. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm okay. When you're hurting so bad inside, God sees that. He says, no more. I'm taking it out today. This is your day. My God, this is your day. Are you happy? This is your day. Put your hands up. You're one of the people I'm here for tonight. Matter of fact, your name's on the papers. Oh, yeah, right there it is. You are His beloved. He's chosen you. He appreciates you. You don't think that your faithfulness has been seen, but God says, I see it. You don't have to do nothing to be accepted. You've already been accepted. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. Holy Ghost, give me these two guys right here. Yeah. Hands up. Give me this. You. Yeah, right there. I like this guy. I don't know why. I just want to drill him. Is that all right, Pastor? Can I give him a love tap? The power of God. You can give me an offering later, honey. Let me get these two here. Just such wonderful people, the Bible school people. There's such an anointing on you. Man, you're just such wonderful people. God is just going, when His fire comes, everything that's not, that's Haywood and stubble is going to be burning. Haywood and stubble, I smell it. Haywood and stubble is burning in here because the fire of God is just moving among the seats and everything. This guy right here. Yeah, this guy right here. Yeah. Ooh, you feel that? That's a special delivery for you. How you doing? Has anybody told you you're awesome? I just did. Put your hands up, honey. Do you sing to God? Well, He sure likes it. I just heard that. Tell her I like it when she sings to me. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray the prayer of multiplication over my pastor. I pray the prayer of multiplication in money and finances. I pray the prayer of multiplication in people and endeavors and outreaches. I pray the prayer of multiplication in strength and years of life. I pray that multiplication in the name of Jesus Christ. Power and strength to him, to his wife, to his daughter, to all of his family in the name of Jesus. I pray a protective hedge, and I break the power of every ungodly word prayed or spoken in the name of Jesus ever off of him in the name of Jesus Christ. I stand in the gap and I say, devil, stay away. Your power and your words are broken in the name of Jesus. And I add my peace with your peace in the name of Jesus Christ. Come here, Big John. I need to have him lay hands on me. For good singing, for good looks, he's got them both.